B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome in. Felger and Maz on a Tuesday. It's football season, Maz, so you know what that means.
Big boy!
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. He's rather on the large side, so it's a big boy Tuesday. If you're listening on the radio, you don't get quite the visual. He's got a Rutgers sweatshirt on. That's where he went to college.
It's a little bright.
We fired the coach, so I'm all in again.
It is bright in here, man. I got to tell you.
Seriously, you look like a big tomato. A red pepper.
All right, let's move along.
It's a big red Tuesday. Are you still, have you calmed down yet, big boy? Calmed down yet, Greg?
I don't know. I wasn't.
I feel you're a little harsh on your fellow opinion makers the other day.
By the way, first of all.
On your website, and I think you're still there reading your email this morning. Go.
Well, I'll just say that, first of all, I don't read anybody after the game. I do that on purpose. Like, I don't read anybody all week. I don't read them till the end of the week. Because I don't want other people's thoughts entering into my mind.
Yeah, you don't want to be polluted.
So what's your point? So what are you saying?
So I'll say this. That was not aimed at Curran. I didn't know what Curran wrote. I heard the question in the post-game press conference. I thought it was ridiculous.
Okay, I'm not responsible for the graphic we put up there. I just read what Curran and Volin wrote and what you wrote.
I blame Murray.
And then we then made the logical conclusions that there's fault lines among the Foxborough media. No, that's just the logical conclusion there.
I'm all good with Curran.
Oh, no, I said Curran and Volin.
Oh.
See what he did there.
Wait, what?
So Bedard, he's back at it this morning on his email. I'm like, you want to follow up on your column? He says, sure, we can continue whatever you obtuse people want to talk about. Antonio Brown would not have helped on Sunday. You're just trolling that up. How long are we going to continue to talk about a guy who is not going to be here in any event? Jesus.
I mean, seriously. Antonio, he's not here. He was never going to be here once he sent that text message. It's over. Stop talking about him. Well, what is the point?
But I don't agree with that take. I don't agree with that take. If it's bad enough, you can talk about it forever. That's the whole point of sports. That's just
what?
That's the way it works. I'm allowed to bring up Grady Little forever and ever. I can bring up the Bruins in Game 7 against the Bruins forever and ever.
That's fine.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. I don't agree with that.
But saying like, we wish he was here. Like, they could have used him. They weren't going to have him. So what's the point in talking about it?
I understand Greg's point. It's like saying, geez, I wish Grady would have pulled him. Like, you can rip Grady.
I see.
You can rip him.
I see.
But you can't lament the absence of Brown anymore. I felt this way about the Gronk. How come, you know, people talk about Brown because he's gone. It's over. It didn't work.
But I just don't agree with it's over. You can scratch an itch and carry a grudge as long as you want.
Well, you can.
When I say
what you do.
When I say it's over, I mean he's not going to play for the Patriots. That's what I mean. Oh, believe me, I'm all for talking about it.
I mean, I don't understand.
I'm all for beating the crap out of him.
Once he sent that text message, it was over for him and the Patriots. So what is the point in lamenting about him?
It's like you've never listened to the show, Greg. Part of the Felger and Maz philosophy is just because the people want it to go away doesn't mean it's going.
It doesn't mean it's gone away. Ask Maz about how the Sox negotiated with Mark Teixeira in 2007, and he'll give you 4 hours.
That one's still not over, Greg.
It's not over. Anyway, you wrote that the offense sucked. Brady sucked. They all sucked. Antonio Brown wouldn't have mattered.
Correct.
Since going up 20-0 on the Jets, the Patriots have had 22 possessions and four. Only four have gone for more than five plays. So it's beyond Antonio Brown. What are you saying?
It was a whole mess on Sunday. It was just one of those games, and the Bills definitely factored into that. Boy, are those guys fast, and they are big, and they are all over the place, and they had the Patriots sped up. The offensive line sometimes didn't know who to block. You know, you had Edelman's dropping passes. Now, one thing, and I wrote about this today at BSJ, you know, now watching the film back, first of all, Brady was still terrible in that game. It started on the first play, the first pass of the game. You know the one where he airmailed Philip Dorsett?
Yes.
So Dorsett's over there basically by himself, and there's two guys on him. That's why Brady threw it away, because it was in traffic. On the other side of the field, there was, you had, I think it was White or Burkhead.
So I watched short. I watched a clip you put up there. You had three receivers at three different levels. You had White short. You had Edelman in the middle and Gordon running a deep thing. Against two defenders.
And he didn't even look over there. That happened multiple times in that game. Now, it could just be what we talked about last year, where Brady's not seeing the field right, and it's part of his targets, and some of it's this and that. Or, and I think this is what it is, and I think this is why you saw Philip Dorsett getting thrown the ball a lot in crucial situations, and not Julian Edelman, and not Josh Gordon, and not Rex Burkhead. It's because Brady said, he took it upon himself to say, it's week four, we're 3-0, this is Buffalo. Julian is hurt, Josh is hurt, Rex is hurt like he always is, and I'm not gonna put him out there and get them injured and knocked out for the year in week four. I'm not gonna do it, so I'm not gonna put those guys in harm's way. Almost like they did with Gronkowski at times last year, where they wouldn't pull him out until they needed him, and so I think that's at play.
So you're saying again, Maz, just quickly,
yeah, go ahead.
That some of his decision making was so obvious in terms of going away from one side of the field, you think he was actually protecting some players?
Sometimes, yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. that first play is glaring. I mean, he had three receivers and two defensive backs back there, and he went for the guy who had more coverage on him, which is really unlike Brady, unless it's intentional because he's trying to keep Edelman out of harm's way.
There were plays where Edelman was open. There were definitely plays where he was doubled. The who'd they play?
Buffalo.
The Bills did what a lot of teams do, the smart teams, including the Jets the week before with Greg Williams. Come third down, they bring a robber or whatever and bracket Edelman on third down. Try to take that away. But, you know, there were other times where Julian Edelman was open or was going to come open, and Brady didn't even look at him, didn't wait for it, and Julian's looking back at Brady like, what's going on? Like, why aren't you throwing me the ball?
So the only thing I was going to ask you is when you say, you know, he looked at Dorsett, was there anything the Bills were doing there in terms of disguising, making Brady think?
No.
Nothing?
No, I mean, they were showing nothing that Brady hasn't seen before and couldn't sniff out. Nothing exotic.
Was there anything about, an absence of confidence in the offensive line that would lead him to throw to Dorsett or Edelman or you follow me?
It's possible, but the protection, again, was fine in this game. He was under pressure 25% of the time in this game. That's nothing for Brady. And so it wasn't that bad. Was it bad at times? Did he get hit a few times? Yes, but nothing abnormal.
So on him. It's on him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What, you concerned about – but are you concerned about that?
No.
Okay. Is there anything you are legitimately concerned about?
The big thing that they just – I would start with the tight end position, and hopefully it's solved with Ben Watson. Ryan Izzo, love the kid. You know, maybe he has a future here as an H-back. Maybe he gets a little bit stronger. He is not an NFL tight end on the end of the line. He's just not. And he is killing their outside runs when they're to his side. He's getting stood up and pushed back, and it's blowing things up, causing other blockers to run into him, and it's like a car crash to his side of the field. So, to me, you know, that's where I would start. And then you sort of get into the offensive line. You know, is Karras the type of guy you want at center? Do you want a more athletic center? Like, you know, like you had with Andrews. Is that a problem with this running game? But I don't think anything is, you know, that big of a problem. Yes, they're on a skid right now. The, 4, 5 for 22 in terms of their possessions. And but I think everything is manageable. And I think we've seen them, it's week four, they go through this, and they find their way out of it. And, you know, I don't think that they could be fine with what they have. You know, would Emmanuel Sanders help at some point? Sure. But it's not dire straits. It's not anything worse than they've had before in the past year.
Is Brady feeling sorry for himself for the time being?
I think so.
Is there a pity party going on here?
A little bit. Yeah, I think he wanted Brown. I think he had put some time in, and he wanted Brown to be kept around, and maybe he wanted the Patriots to take more of the Chiefs tack, which is just say, hey, we don't know nothing. It's in the league's hands. Maybe it gets resolved like 18 months from now, but he gets to play out the season. You know, maybe he's a little irritated that, you know, the Chiefs had Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and, you know, Sammy Watkins and all these people that
is Hardman
that
an a-hole too? Is that Hardman kid an a-hole?
No, but he flies.
Okay, but he's not. Right. He doesn't have a pass like Tyreek
Hill. Right. I'm just saying, like, you know, the Chiefs went that way
weapons.
With Tyreek Hill, and they already have weapons. You get me one legit guy, and we can't just go hands off and just say, hey, just put it on the NFL. It's fine. Hey, it's in the NFL's hands. We've done that with other guys. Why don't we do that with AB? So, yeah, I think there's a little pity party going on.
Okay, and I agree. I think Brady's definitely feeling sorry for himself or just a little bit of a pouting thing going on, which I don't think is permanent either. I think he's had this in the past, and he gets over it, which he will. And I do think they'll work out their issues as well. But make no mistake, I think it's going on. It happened last night with him and Jim Gray. Where I think Jim Gray is complicit. I feel like Gray gets his questions from Brady or the Brady camp.
Because, oh, definitely.
Because I feel like the questions have gotten to the point where the questions have the content. And the answer is, well, it's just for the team. And, you know, it's about winning, Jim. And, you know, Brady gets to play the good guy. But the content, what Brady wants to say, is included in the questions.
Why are you even assuming this? This is definitely what happened.
Right?
I don't think there's any question.
And this is how they get out. I mean, let me just give you one example. Jimmy, run that cut.
How do you stay optimistic? The stats are just, they are what they are. 7-3 and outs yesterday, 9 punts and 12 possessions. How do you stay optimistic? You're 42 years old. You're trying to improve. But you've got a lot of pride. How personally do you take this, and what do you think can be done at this point in the season?
So stop. I mean,
Tom, you've been hung out to dry by this franchise at 42. How pissed are you
that's
at the
exactly owner? Right. Right. I mean, this is Brady's quote. I'm 42. I take a lot of pride in it. This is important to me. We're not surrounded by a lot of weapons, so I have to figure out how to improve because this is important to me. But he doesn't want to say it. So Gray says it in the form of a question, and then Brady gets to play the good guy. Like, this is what this interview's become.
No question. It's a bag. The whole thing is a bag.
Tom, a coverager sure is only as good as his tools. You've been given the worst tools. How do you feel about that? Like,
so anyway, just rewind it. Go ahead. Do it again.
Tom?
Excellent. I love that.
How do you stay optimistic? The stats are just, they are what they are. 7-3 and outs yesterday, 9 punts and 12 possessions. How do you stay optimistic? You're 42 years old. You're trying to improve. But you've got a lot of pride. How personally do you take this, and what do you think can be done at this point in the season to see improvement?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the flight home yesterday sucked. I mean, that's, you know, the night of sleep sucked, and you watch the film, and that sucks. And then you just you lick your wounds, and you get up, and you try to do better the next week.
So,
yeah, I mean, listen, the flight home yesterday sucked. I mean, that's, you know, the night of sleep sucked, and you watch the film, and that sucks.
So the content, same. The content's in the question, to me.
Oh, and, totally.
And,
no,
and this is how Brady's getting it out through his henchman Jim Gray.
Oh, I think it's an absolute orchestration. I mean,
stop.
Still gets to make me look like a hard hitting journalist. Thanks, Tom.
But you've got a lot of pride. How personally do you take this, and what do you think can be done at this point in the season to see improvement?
I'm half waiting for him to be like, Tom, when are you just going to give up on the season and just call it quits?
So we have more. That thing that went on for about 7 minutes where Gray's just painting this picture of, oh, man, how do you do it? How do you do it, Tommy? All right, so your thoughts.
It's an old media trick. Boy, they're really screwing you, huh?
The Brady Pity Party continues. Your thoughts at 617-779-0985. Also, a point about the post-game celebration. Murray noticed it. We'll get to that with your thoughts after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, okay, fellas, just what we thought it was going to be. Mental and physical toughness. That's the way to stick in here and grind it out now. It's never easy here. It's the way to stick in here and grind it out. But look, we got to learn some lessons here. Just overall, just a little bit better execution. But we had some in some critical situations. Got a couple big plays there on defense. Good job, fellas. Block punt there. Nice step up on that, JC. All right. Good team win, okay? Good. All three groups contributed. All right, we got to do a good job of continuing to play complimentary football. All right, go on the road again down here to Washington this week, okay? Congrats, man. Congrats.
That's just what we thought it would be. Let's keep fighting. Let's keep believing. Let's keep leaning on one another. And I tell you what, we're going to have a lot more games like we did today than what the first three were. A quarter of the way done. Let's keep fighting. Bring it in here. How do we feel about being 4-0, though, fellas?
Oh, yeah!
So if you're watching on the simulcast, you couldn't show you the video, but that video's up on Patriots.com and other stuff. It's the postgame, the regular postgame thing. Hear from Bill Belichick first and Matthew Slater second. Big Jim Murray pointed this out. I mean, I never look at those things. I never would have noticed it unless Murray sent it to me and then pointed it out. Who was not in one shot on one scene in that 90-second video?
Their biggest star. The best quarterback who's ever lived. Who's going to get you a guaranteed click? No Tom Brady. Where was Brady in this thing?
Nowhere to be found.
Oh, because he was in the bathroom stall crying.
You didn't even get the Brady Kraft bro hug.
Nope. Yep. You know, you see Kraft, you know, embrace players, and you
saw Brady says, "Oh, that was a good, really good win."
Yeah, they're all like 4-0. So I cut out that 20 seconds because it doesn't translate. But Kraft goes around the locker room, shakes some hands. There's 4-0. Bill goes around the locker room, daps some guys up, et cetera, et cetera. Brady's nowhere,
and he's typically in these. I don't remember any time where Brady hasn't been in just even for a couple of seconds in any of these post game celebration videos.
Not one shot.
Not
even in the background.
Not one shot, not even in the background.
So something stinks here.
So just to point out, just to continue our doing what we do, he wasn't in there at all. And then did you notice what Slater said at the very end? Did you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll keep winning despite how bad the offense is.
That's not what he said.
That's what it sounded like.
He said, make no mistake, we're going to have a lot more like this one. He said, we're going to have a lot more like this. We're going to have a lot more like this one than the first three. And when I, you know, that one stood out to me, too. Like, they know.
Well, don't you think he's talking about the competitiveness of the game?
Yes. But again, we're doing what we're doing here.
Well, okay. All right. Sorry, Fred. I didn't mean to get in the way there.
But I mean, what? Do they really think they're going to be winning game 16-10? That's how they're going to have to do it?
They're going to have to fight for wins. Yeah, they're going to have to fight for wins against good teams.
Yeah, against good teams.
Yeah, they're going to have to fight for some wins. I mean, look, you don't win a Super Bowl without fighting for it. And that's what my guess was, the message was. Or maybe, like Murray said, he's dumping on the offense.
Well, so anyway, where was Brady in that video, Murray? Where was he?
I got three theories. One, Brady was in such a mood after that game, a win, that he told the video crew, get the hell out of my face, and if you post any footage of me today acting like this, I'll have your jobs. Two, maybe ownership's getting some payback. Oh, you're mad at me for how I run things? And I want to save face by cutting Antonio Brown. F you, employee number 12. You're not in today's video. Three, maybe Bill has final say in post-production. He's looking it over, says to the editor, get Brady out of there. Didn't do a damn thing today. It's about the defense and players that I like. Leave Brady on the cutting room floor.
They've taken Tom's Patriot of the Week awards away, and now it's the video thing?
Well, Maz has him in the bathroom stall,
okay,
just pouting.
Yeah, crying.
Yeah. Yep. No, something stinks here, though.
Yeah, I think he went in there, he pulled down his pants, he sat down, he started weeping uncontrollably.
And then Matthew Slater, team leader at the end there, says, guys, we're going to have to keep winning like this because the offense sucks. It's like, so, they know, like I said.
Okay, so, but it's true, he's not in that video, which is really sort of rare. You can weigh in on this or anything Patriots related with the big boy, Greg Bedard, here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Dan in New Hampshire, lead us off today. What do you got?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I had a question for Greg. Michael Bennett was arguably the highest name, highest profile guy brought in this season. I haven't heard of anything good or bad about how he's playing this season, so I was just curious to get Greg's take on it. Thanks.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, look, he hasn't played that much. I don't know why that is. I will say when he has played, he's been impactful. He's been fine. Like, you know, even in this game, he didn't play that much, and I had him for a half knockdown, a hurry, and he broke up a pass. So he does that like every game. So when he's in there, he's impactful. He does a nice job. Why he's not playing?
Load management? Could be.
I think it's largely load management. But I had this thought the other day because, you know, I've watched Bennett in the locker room the past couple weeks. I've seen him after some of the games. You know, I don't think he's a very excitable guy anyways. But I don't know. It just he comes across as like almost like he's not sure what he's doing here. Like, I don't know how to term it.
Going through the motions?
A little bit, but I think he does want to be there, and I think he likes being here. I think he was more excited about being here in training camp when he talked. Like, there was an enthusiasm. I'm not saying he doesn't like it now. I just wonder.
Now he actually sees how it's like.
Well, when you get a veteran his age that's been in the league, sometimes you have to worry about, and a guy who is as smart as he is with as many different interests as he has. Sometimes you need to protect against, maybe he's just like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. You know, so maybe Bill is just keeping it as small as possible. You know, just, hey, We'll take what we can get. We really need this guy at the end of the season or against the Chiefs and stuff like that. You know, so I'm just talking out loud.
Pace. Yeah. He's pacing himself.
I bet you. To me, that's what I bet on. He played 24 snaps. There were 83 defensive snaps.
They played a lot. The defense was on the field a lot.
Wow. He only played 24 snaps.
29% of the snaps on defense.
Wow.
And I remember him.
This is a close game.
Yeah. And I remember him at one point. I want to say, like, he made a play when he was in there early in the game. Might have been the second quarter where I felt like, oh, he's a factor in there. And you know what? I'm willing to bet that they're doing with him what they did with Revis. Chill out for the first 6 weeks because we're playing garbage.
Yeah. Wow.
We need you in the
middle. Wait a minute. I mean, Revis was still out there. Okay, it wasn't he was all of a sudden a dime back. Like,
right, but they were playing zone.
They were, but it wasn't like he's a dime back like, you know, Michael Bennett is right now. I mean, Bennett is, I mean.
Different position, though, Greg.
True, but I don't think you compare apples to oranges here. I just think that Bennett is effective. And I do think they're trying to pace it. And I do. I think there might be sort of an endurance thing where maybe they're trying to build him up because I don't think he's in the greatest shape right now.
Okay, Jordan in Florida, what's your take today?
Hey, how important is Rex Burkhead for this offense? Because I saw he was clear to play before the game, but he didn't play many snaps. Did that have more to do with the game plan or was it more of an injury factor?
So he's always hurt, Greg.
Yeah. I reported last week, I saw him after the home game, the Jets, I saw him go for x-rays, and he was on the injury report with a foot injury all week. So I think they're, you know, more management.
How do you feel about Sony Michel so far this year?
I think he's been okay. There are times where he's just hesitant going into the hole. Like, you know, they had a one-yard run where they were backed up to their own end zone, and, you know, it was opening up. They had, I think it was Mason was pulling, and things were opening up on the outside, but he panicked because he saw a guy flashing at him, and he stutter-stepped, and it went for a one-yard gain or one-yard loss, where it really could have went for about 15 yards. But so sometimes he's a little bit, passive, and he's, you know, he's not hitting the hole as hard, certainly what he did last year. And maybe this probably has to do with the line thing and now the fullback. But he was doing this when Devlin was out there, too. He just hasn't been running assertively.
You see the stat? Murray sent along the stat. Is this Pro Football Focus?
Correct, yeah.
This is amazing, this
stat.
So
they rank, they actually log and rank missed tackles. Okay, and so a little bit of subjectiveness here, but missed tackles, and they rank them missed tackles forced per touch. So, for example, Alvin Kamara forces the most missed tackles per touch, 0.39. So I guess, 40% of the time he makes someone miss. I guess that's the way to read that. He's tied with Damian Williams. Is that the Chiefs?
Yeah. Yeah, Damian Williams is cheap, yeah.
Duke Johnson is third. Where's he?
Arizona.
Fourth is Josh Jacobs. Is that the rookie in Oakland?
Correct.
Okay, fifth is Le'Veon Bell. Okay, and their numbers are 0.39 to 0.32. So that's the top five. Alvin Kamara, Damian Williams, Duke Johnson, Josh Jacobs, Le'Veon Bell. Missed tackles forced per touch. There's 44 qualifying players. Sony Michel ranks 44th out of 44, dead last in the National Football League in forcing missed tackles. According to Pro Football Focus, 0.05, which means like never. Like he never makes anybody miss.
Right, one out of every 20 carries.
Which is what my eyes sort of tell me with him. He takes the yards that are there, and he takes them well, and when he sees the hole and has Devlin to run behind, he'll take what's there. And he's got decent burst, and for the most part, he's hung on to the ball, so like all that. But this even goes back to last year. I've never really seen him make people miss or outrun people. Like, get yards that aren't supposed to be there. That's what I've always felt about him.
I mean, that one preseason game, it was a little different, right? He looked more elusive in that game. He looked like a little quicker, a little faster, the whole thing. Now, again, it was a preseason game, although he was in there with the ones. So, like, I thought maybe there was something there. I just, as you talk about Burkhead and now Michelle, how's Damian Harris not getting on the field? Harris can catch the ball.
Okay, and maybe they don't want him in passing sets because then he has to pick up the blitz, and they don't trust the kid to pick up the blitz. Who knows?
Yeah, it's very, James White didn't play as, like, a rookie in that position, and I think Shane Vereen had to wait. I think that's when they had Kevin Faulk back, before, remember, he played and he got hurt halfway through the year, and that was it for him. They do not trust young guys in that spot. They will for Sony Michel, first two downs, when Jeremy Hill goes down, okay, you can be our first two down back. But, as far as third down, there's not with Burkhead and White both healthy in air quotes, you know, they are not going to put that kid there.
Three up, three down, coming your way right after the up.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
Okay, once again, we got our charts out here. We've reviewed the film. Three stars and three studs, three duds from Sunday's win in Buffalo. You ready to go, Maz?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just hiding my my work here from Bedard. He has a tendency to peek.
So Bedard gives us his thought. Maz weighs in as well. Bedard, are you ready, more importantly?
Yep.
Okay, number one star.
J.C. Jackson. I mean, other guys played better wire to wire, but two interceptions, a punt block. I mean, it's awesome.
There's only I had him for one negative play. To use your parlance, there was a Frank Gore run up the middle where he tried to tackle him with his shoulder.
Oh, that was terrible.
Right? That was brutal.
The old shoulder tackle. I'm sure that went over well in film review.
But other than that, he was all over the place.
Yep.
Maz?
I also had J.C. Jackson number one. In fact, I was debating one and two, and I was going to give you the one because I think Bedard's number two is going to be the same as mine. But people would rather hear him talk about his film review than me. Go.
Two.
Kyle Van Noy. He was awesome in this game. I mean, like, I'm running out of room on the plus side of my ledger for this guy in these games. I mean, he just, you know, people talk about, oh, is Jamie Collins the defensive end? No. He missed a game for the birth of his child. Kyle Van Noy has been by far the best defensive player to this point in the season.
Maz?
Kyle Van Noy. That's why. Again, I'll leave it to Bedard. Eight tackles, two sacks, two forced fumbles. He was all over. The guy's an absolute wrecking machine back there. He was awesome.
Third star.
Lawrence Guy.
Oh, my God.
What do you want? The guy is great.
Guys, I think it's time for an intervention.
No.
It's time for a Lawrence Guy intervention.
Oh, no, there's one coming.
But, Dart, they got gashed in the running game.
Not his side.
They were all
on a bet?
It was all the other side.
He had one. Did you see that look?
Hold on. Check your charts. Go ahead.
I didn't have him for any negative plays.
You had him for no negative plays.
Yeah.
How many negative plays do you have him for, Maz?
A lot. I stopped counting. There's so many.
And I am for seven plus plays. I mean,
seven
he impacted.
Plus plays. How many tackles was he credited with?
Like four.
So
he had four tackles.
You got run on in the running game. Did he factor into the pass rush? Did he get any pressures, any hits, any sacks?
Nope.
Run on in the run game. What are you talking about?
The team did. Gore had 6.4
yards per
carry.
All right, he had a couple big runs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, where, like, you know, Juwan Bentley is jumping out of gaps and things like that. But on the whole, I mean, they had a stuffed run percentage of 35%. That's a lot.
What was your stuffed run percentage, Maz, in this ballgame?
Oh, much lower. Much lower.
They boomed a couple times, but
you and Lawrence Guy, my goodness.
What's wrong with Lawrence Guy? Tell me what's wrong with him. It's just because he doesn't put up stats. You're like, I can't tell. He's a really good player. He was one of their best players all of last year.
I know.
He
you
continues
keep bringing him
to be.
You keep, and I never notice him. And I
oh,
rarely,
sorry, he doesn't make enough splash plays for
he doesn't,
you, Felger.
He doesn't make splash plays. Thank
no,
you.
He doesn't.
Thank you.
You know, and I know you ignore the offensive line. But when stuff goes wrong, whether it's the quarterback getting pressured the defense running on the team in the postseason, it's because of the line, guys. It starts and ends in the line.
Right. Their line sucked in this game.
I only bring them up when they suck. But anyway, that Lawrence Guy, shocker.
You know what his middle name is? Justa. Lawrence Justa.
Jake
guy.
Bailey was also a possibility.
So, honorable mention, who is your third star, man?
Jake Bailey.
Yeah. I sure Felger saw him
I
kick
love
the
this
ball.
Guy. Oh, my God. He's amazing.
Super
told you about him in the offseason.
In fact, I'm going to make it my mission to have the punter of my three up every freaking week. That's 2 weeks in a row for Robo Punter. I love this guy.
Guys,
love him.
Freaking howitzer.
I'm going to start coming in wearing a Jake Bailey jersey for crying out loud. My favorite player on the Patriots, a guy who punts and says nothing.
All right, let's get to the good stuff. Three down, three duds. Who's your number one dud for the Patriots?
Ryan Izzo. I mean, he's killing the outs. I was pumping his tires. I thought he was actually the best blocker in training camp out of the tight ends. Boy, was I wrong about that. It's like, Maz trying to block me on the end. That ain't happening.
Nope, definitely not.
I mean, Jerry Hughes was standing him up and shoving him all over the place. And now it's gotten to the point where even though he caught a 44-yard pass, was that last week? Now Brady doesn't even look at him. It's like he's a ghost out there. He was wide buck open a couple times, and Brady won't even look at him.
Maz, your first dud.
Lawrence just a
what?
Guy. LJG.
Love it.
Lawrence just a guy. I thought he was.
You want me to do an Izzo demonstration right now?
I thought he was getting turned repeatedly in the early part.
Yeah, you're
wrong. And spun out, and they were running through that hole.
He might add one.
I thought the interior of both lines in this game was horrid. Horrid. Proceed.
Second dud.
Greg. Tom Brady.
Ooh, good job,
just
Greg.
Not.
You did one fine. You just redeemed yourself.
At a point, Greg. You're coming back.
He was not good in this game. He wasn't. And I don't want to hear any excuses. It's okay. We don't need the boohoo Brady crew out there to be like, oh, it's his weapons. He doesn't have the weapons, or it's the protection. No, it's none of that. He was bad in this game. Just leave it at that. Call it what it is. Let's move on. It's okay. They won. He'll be fine. They'll be fine. It's okay.
Juwan Bentley. Greg mentioned him. I'm worried about this. He's not the same player. Nope. He was good last year in the early part of the year, the preseason. I don't remember if he ever actually played in the regular season, but I know we were all high on him. And he's not moving right either, Greg. You tell me, but he looks slow.
Yep. No, I don't think he's right. He's delayed on his reads. When he does react, he jumps into the wrong gap. He's having a tough time right now.
Okay, we had two or three. I lost track.
That was
two.
We're on three.
Three. Third dud.
Josh Gordon. You know, he had that mix up with Brady, which I thought Gordon was wrong on. He ran a stop. He thought it was zone. It was man to man. Brady was right. Dropped two passes. Got blown up on a run block against a smaller guy.
Tell me he's hurt, because he feels like
he has to be
hobbled out there.
Yeah, almost. He doesn't look good. He does not look like the same player. Something's going on with him, and I think Brady's trying to protect some of these guys so that they're there at the end of the season, because he cannot afford to lose any more guys.
Steven Gostkowski.
Yes.
Again. And so, look, I told you, all three phases, right, Patriots fans? All three phases? You're getting Jake Bailey in the three ups and Steven Gostkowski in the three downs.
Maz kicking specialist on Felder.
He missed an extra point, Greg, to the right from the left hash. You tried doing that. That is a tough thing to pull.
I do it on my drives off the tee. I line up on the left all the time. I still blow it in the trees on
okay,
the right.
But again, this guy's an NFL kicker. Left hash, he missed it wide right. Holy crap, 2 weeks in a row. This is like a regular thing. At this rate, he's going to miss 16 extra points.
Okay, those are your three up or three down. You want to weigh in? 617-779-0985. Anything Patriot-related, what can
I just point out one thing?
Please
real
do.
Quick? On the block punt, on the coach's film, you see it. Bajorquez, who was here, and I don't know if the Patriots knew this, he was lined up like 2 yards left of center.
Oh, no.
Like, closer to J.C. Jackson. Like, it was like you watch it from behind, you're like, does he have a depth perception problem? Or, like, he can't get lined up? It was weird.
So they played right into that whole thing.
I guess so.
Maybe he's cockeyed.
He's a lefty kicker.
Want to weigh in on any of this? By all means, you can. The Brady-Jim Gray interview continues to give us information, not from Brady's side, though. The information is in the questions, as we have come to learn. We'll get back to that and your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So, Tom, from where I sit, and from probably what a lot of observers see and the fans, you lose a great left tackle. He goes off to Oakland, Trent Brown. You lose Rob Gronkowski, who is an amazing weapon, who has just been so prolific over the years, and you basically don't replace him. Aren't your hands kind of tied?
Listen, that happens in the NFL. You lose players to retirement. You lose players to other teams. You know, I think those guys who are in there are doing the best they can do. They're new to the team. They're getting some opportunity. The reality is the NFL, other people have to step in and fill the void when you lose great players. So the burden is always going to fall on somebody in football. Someone's always got the tough job. When you're a younger player, you shouldn't be the one that, you know, everyone's counting on. You know, the veteran players need to do that. Our veteran players need to do a great job, especially the ones on offense who have been around. You know, so I think that's what, from my standpoint as an offense, we've got to be able to do. Our veteran leaders on offense have to share more of the burden.
Again, this thing's unbelievable. The answer's useless. Brady gets to play the good guy, but this is what this interview has become.
That question's amazing.
The information and Brady's feelings are in the question. So Gray gets to deliver it in the form of a question, and then Brady gets to be the good guy and say, no, it's about the team. The burden's on the old guy. I'm just worried about winning. Where Gray, I mean, listen to this. Listen to this pandering by Gray.
It's like subliminal advertising, for crying out loud.
So, Tom, from where I sit and from probably what a lot of observers see and the fans, you lose a great left tackle. He goes off to Oakland, Trent Brown. You lose Rob Gronkowski, who is an amazing weapon, who has just been so prolific over the years. And you basically don't replace him. Aren't your hands kind of tied?
I mean, oh, Jesus.
Tom, from where I sit, Gronk is gone. Your left tackle is fat and soft and hurt again. Your owner cut your shiny new toy. The cupboard is bare. Tom, are your hands tied right now? Are you exploring your kinky side, Tom?
No, but it's like Brady held hostage by the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, again, so that's where I think the truth comes out. And Gray gets the questions from Brady or Brady's camp, or Gray is so ingrained in Brady's camp, he knows how they're all thinking.
Here's how I want you to ask it.
Well, I mean, because, I mean, we can talk about the interception at any point, Jim. And if he did, you know, forgive me. I did listen to the interview. I can't remember if he did or not. So I didn't include in the cuts I gave to Jimmy. But, you know, Rob Gronkowski retiring or Trent Brown being in Oakland, what does that have to do with Tom Brady throwing right. a hellacious – and why don't we talk about that? But instead, all these questions are, you know, how are you doing it at 42 and they don't – you know, look at what you're surrounded by and, oh, it's on and on.
And 4 weeks in. I mean, some of these questions are the ones you ask in the preseason. Trent Brown and Gronk were never part of the equation here, right? Like, so how is it that this is still being asked?
Well, that's when I heard his answer, I'm like, what about training camp? They didn't just show up yesterday. What the hell have they been doing since the end of July? Oh, and never mind not coming in the offseason when you could have thrown to those, you know, young guys who should never be counted on.
So give me the third one, Jimmy, the one about managing the game.
So for a long time, the offense kind of carried the defense. And there's an ebb and flow and things change and there's cycles and so forth. And now the cycle seems to be this defense is just terrific. They're giving up just 6.75 points per game, 243 yards, fewest in the NFL on the points. Is this going to be one of those things where now your role changes and the offensive role changes and you just try not to make mistakes and for lack of a better term, just manage the game and let your defense try and win it?
Well, I do think you have to understand what the strengths of your team are. You know, certainly our defense is playing great football. They're not giving up many points. They're doing a great job in the red area. They're turning the ball over a lot. So we definitely have to understand, I think, from our standpoint, you know, turnovers are always an important part of our game on offense. Yesterday we had one in the red zone, which, you know, kept us from if I threw it away, it would have been 3 points. If we had scored, it would have been 7 points. So I think from my standpoint, it's about not giving them opportunities, you know, to take points away from us and also knowing that our defense isn't going to give up many.
Okay, so Brady had to bring up the interception himself. But anyway, so that Q&A was pretty straightforward. But I think there's a lot of leading questions in this interview.
Oh, there's no question. And again, even if there isn't, you know, let's say there's not a paper trail between the two of here's what I'm going to ask you. And the mere relationship between the two allows Gray to take the onus off of Brady. He knows what he's doing when he asks a question that way.
And that question was a real wordy way of saying, Tom, people don't tune in to see defense, do they? They tune in to see you. Isn't that right, Tom? They want to see you throw for multiple touchdowns and over 300 yards. Right, Tom?
I mean, Tom. I at least give Brady for credit for saying you have to be aware what the strengths of your team are. Like, I give him credit for that. But that thing, I mean, he calls the guy scratchy for crying out loud. Of course they were in cahoots.
Tom, from 10,000 feet where I sit, it looks like you're up the river without a paddle. Tom?
I wonder if these questions sound straight out of Gasper's next column.
Seriously, no, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah. Tom Brady Sr. with the transcript. And Tom just then shoots him down. But this is how they get the info out, through the questions. Again, Jimmy, just one more. Just give me the first one that we ran in that 2 o'clock block. I mean, again, like, listen to this.
Stay optimistic. The stats are just, they are what they are. 7-3 and outs yesterday, 9 punts in 12 possessions. How do you stay optimistic? You're 42 years old. You're trying to improve. But you've got a lot of pride. How personally do you take this, and what do you think can be done at this point in the season to see improvement?
I mean, again, that's like Brady saying, I'm 42. I take a lot of pride in this. I want to be better. But he doesn't want to say it, so Gray says it in the question.
Something needs to be done, Tom.
All right, so back to your calls. Whatever you want. Again, 617-779-0985. Tim in Plymouth, what do you got?
Is it possible that our quarterback and our kicker could be our biggest downfalls this season when they used to be our best assets early in Brady's career?
Okay, and so not the quarterback. The quarterback is a unquestioned strength who will be there when it matters. Okay, he's just, as has happened from time to time over his career, he's having a little thing here in the first month of the year, and he'll get over it, and he might be over it, whatever. Like, that's all that is. The kicker's a different story. Are you legitimately concerned with the kicker, Bedard?
Yes.
No.
Don't you think Bill is, Greg? He bypassed a field goal to go for it on 4th and 8.
I think he's going to give it more time. And so, you know, I'm going to give Gostkowski more time. I mean, I'm going to get all riled up about the kicker? I mean.
No, but that's not the question. The question is,
asking if you're riled up.
Yeah, Bill's gonna keep Gostkowski. I don't think anyone thinks he's gonna bring in a new kicker.
Right.
But what's your level of confidence in him compared to other times?
Not good. Yep.
There you go.
See, that wasn't so hard.
No, we got it. Mary in Manchester, your thoughts on this story?
Yes, I want to talk about the kicker as well. I think that Gostkowski's problems stem all the way back to the AFC Championship game with the Broncos. I think that he blames himself for that loss. I blame him for that loss because Brady had to go for the 2-point conversion at the end of the game. And I don't think he's been quite right ever since then. And I know we've won 2 Super Bowls since then, but it was in spite of him, not because of him. And moving forward, I think that these are going to be low-scoring games because, you know, there's not a lot of offense. And I think every point's going to matter. And I think they absolutely have to address this.
Okay, they're not going to address it. Like, that, I think, is just, and I don't want them to anymore. I told you what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for the story. I want him to continue to suck, and I want Bill to continue to ignore it, and I just want to see how far it goes. I just want to see how far Bill can go before he brings in someone just to take a look. And I'm just fascinated to see that. Did Gostkowski's problems start when they moved the extra point back? Because that happened to a lot of kickers.
Yes.
They got, because these guys are such weak-minded ninnies that as soon as they weren't allowed to, you know, the 2-foot tap-in putt to get him going, it sort of crawled inside their head, and it affected a lot of guys. So I wonder if Gostkowski's quote-unquote downturn happened when the extra point was moved back.
I mean, it does feel that way, yeah. Again, he had never missed an extra point prior to that. I mean, that thing was automatic. So, you know, they increased the length of the extra point significantly. Now, all of a sudden, it's, you know, it's, I don't want to say coin flip. That's too harsh. But he's missed 1 out of every 4 extra points, basically.
Okay, thoughts on this? Anything Patriot-related with the big fella? The big boy, Greg Bedard, big red sweatshirt. Very distracting if you're watching on the simulcast. He's in our studio, so whatever you want on that. We have 10 questions coming up as well in the next hour. No commercials here, just an update.
Hey, we would like to thank New England Fat Loss for partnering with us on our podcast.
And remember, they'll ship your online weight loss kit right to your door.